Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1. Questions by the sages, text number 4. Naimise nimisakshitre.
Naimise nimisakshitre.
Rishaya sunakadaya.
Rishaya sunakadaya.
Satram svargaya lukaya.
Satram svargaya lukaya.
Sahasra samamasata.
Sahasra samamasata.
Naimise.
Naimise.
In the forest of Naimisaranya.
In the forest of Naimisaranya.
Animisakshetri.
Animisakshetri.
The spot which is especially a favorite of Vishnu.
The spot which is especially a favorite of Vishnu.
Who does not close his eyelids.
Who does not close his eyelids.
Risaya.
Risaya.
Sages.
Sages.
Shonaka
Adayaha. Shonaka Adayaha.
Headed by the sage Shonaka.
Headed by the sage Shonaka.
Satram.
Satram.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice.
Svargaya.
Svargaya.
The Lord who is glorified in heaven.
The Lord who is glorified in heaven.
Lokaya.
Lokaya.
And for the devotees,
and for the devotees
who are always in touch,
who are always in touch
with the Lord.
With the Lord.
Sahasra.
Sahasra.
1,000.
1,000.
Samam.
Samam.
Years.
Years.
Asata.
Asata.
Performed.
Performed.
Translations. Once, in a holy place in the forest of Naimisaranya, great sages, headed by the sage Shonaka, assembled to perform a great 1,000-year sacrifice for the satisfaction of the Lord and his devotees. Purport. The prelude of the Bhagavatam was spoken in the previous 3 slokas. Now the main topic of this great literature is being presented. Srimad Bhagavatam, after its first recitation by Srila Sukadev Goswami, was repeated for the second time at Naimisaranya. In the Vaya Via Tantra, it is said that Brahma, the engineer of this particular universe, contemplated a great wheel which could enclose the universe. The hub of this great circle was fixed at a particular place known as Naimisaranya. Similarly, there is another reference to the forest of Naimisaranya in the Varaha Purana, where it is stated that by performance of sacrifice at this place, the strength of demoniac people is curtailed. Thus, Brahmanas prefer Naimisaranya for such sacrificial performances. The devotees of Lord Vishnu offer all kinds of sacrifices for his pleasure. The devotees are always attached to the service of the Lord, whereas fallen souls are attached to the pleasures of material existence. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that anything performed in the material world for any reason other than the pleasure of Lord Vishnu causes further bondage for the performer. It is enjoined, therefore, that all acts must be performed sacrificially for the satisfaction of Vishnu and his devotees. This will bring everyone peace and prosperity. The great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, the sages headed by Shonaka and others assembled at this holy place of Naimisaranya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sages know it well, and therefore for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all living entities, and at the risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. Lord Vishnu is just like a great tree, and all others, including the demigods, men, siddhas, charanas, vijayadharas, and other living entities, are like branches, twigs, and leaves of that tree. By pouring water on the root of the tree, all the parts of the tree are automatically nourished. Only those branches and leaves which are detached cannot be so satisfied. Detached branches and leaves dry up gradually, despite all watering attempts. Similarly, human society, when it is detached from the personality of God, like detached branches and leaves, it is not capable of being watered, and one attempting to do so is simply wasting his energy and resources. The modern materialistic society is detached from its relation to the Supreme Lord, and all its plans which are being made by atheistic leaders are sure to be baffled at every step. Yet they do not wake up to this. In this age, the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord is the prescribed method for waking up. The ways and means are most scientifically presented by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and intelligent persons may take advantage of this teaching in order to bring about real peace and prosperity. Srimad Bhagavatam is also presented for the same purpose, and this will be explained more specifically later in the text. So the forest of Naimisaranya, also known as Animisa Kshetra, Animisa Kshetra, the place where the Lord never closes his eyes. Oh, this is significant. Oh, the Lord is always, always very accessible there, very accessible to receive any offerings. Therefore, that place is extremely auspicious. And as we see, in that place, no demoniac influence can really rise. And therefore, that place of Naimisaranya is a very favorable place for performing sacrifice. No. Of course, we also know that Naimisaranya is known as the center of the universe, that there is a wheel in the universe with different spokes, and that the axis of that wheel is right there at Naimisaranya. And that we can see, it is interesting, that right there in the center of the universe, there Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And thus we know that Srimad Bhagavatam is in the center of this movement. It is the essential literature, the literature which is really the purpose of this movement, not the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is the book that particularly reaches out to us in this world. It describes the three modes of material nature. It describes the eternity of the soul. It mentions that there is another world, a spiritual world, but it doesn't describe it. It describes how Krishna is manifested in this world through the opulences in this world. We can see Krishna in all the opulence of this world. Thus the Bhagavad Gita gives us a path through the material world towards the spiritual world. But Srimad Bhagavatam does not just give us the path of the sadhaka or the path of the practitioner, which it gives at length. Many great devotees are being tested in Srimad Bhagavatam, and we see the path that they follow. Dhruva Maharaj, very difficult path. He went to, and his objective wasn't clear. He wanted a kingdom greater. Greater than his father and grandfather. All right, that is not a perfect way to approach the Lord. But anyway, he approached the Lord for this purpose. Narada Muni instructed him, and Narada Muni explained to him to follow the process of Astanga Yoga and to control the breath. And so he did. Narada Muni also taught him how to worship a deity. He said, you make a deity of clay and you worship that. Simply. You make your own deity form of clay, just like that, in the forest. Very easy. And then you chant the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he did this. And in due course of time, we see that he attained the darshan of the Lord. And then he realized, I wasted my time for a kingdom. Actually, the darshan of the Lord is so much greater than any kingdom of this world. Who could care for a kingdom? So we see how different aspirants tried for the mercy of the Lord, how they became purified in the process. We remember Prahlad. We remember how Prahlad was pushed forward by Lord Brahma. All the demigods were afraid. Even Lakshmi Devi She had never seen such a form of the Lord. Even Lakshmi Devi was not ready to go before the Lord. Some acharyas are mentioning because she wasn't sure who he was. And she's completely changed. Krishna said, is he really my husband? I've never seen him like this. So in this way, she also, and she was afraid, Prabhupada says. She was also fearful. So she kept her distance. Then Lord Brahma, while all the great powerful demigods, including Lord Shiva, were in great fear, Lord Brahma pushes a 5-year-old boy forward. You go. What is this? You go, yes. Lord Brahma, who is supremely intelligent. It is said that Lord Brahma, his body is made of pure intelligence. Pure intelligence. Our bodies are made of earth, water, fire, ether, and all these substances. But Lord Brahma's body is made of pure intelligence. It's said that Lord Brahma is the most intelligent living being in the entire universe. So it is. So, and he has 4 heads, so he can think independently with his 4 heads at the same time. So Lord Brahma understood. Prahlad, you go, because he appeared because of you. So you pacify him, and it worked. Prahlad went before the Lord. And then Lord Nrisimhadev placed his lotus hand on the head of Prahlad, and Prahlad became purified and empowered. And then, it is then, after that blessing of the Lord, that Prahlad was able to speak these prayers. So we go through Srimad Bhagavatam and we see how different personalities are going a path, and that on this, and they are glorious because they are very consistent. But we also see that on the path, the Lord makes arrangements for their purification. Just like Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, he was the king of the daityas, but somehow or other, because the demigods had been neglectful in their worship, the daityas conquered. They conquered the heavenly planets, and Bali was sitting on the throne. But he did not have the adhikar, he did not have the appropriate dharma to rule the universe. Indra, a living being who performs 100 Ashwamedha yajnas can get the position of Indra. Must be a very pious man, very pious soul. So Indra is a post, and only a pious man can get that post. So Bali Maharaj was not eligible to have that post. So the Lord interfered. And took with 2 steps, took away the whole universe, and then arrested. It said he arrested Bali, who was tied up in a serpent noose, and which is not comfortable. And it said that the Lord just let Bali Maharaj hang there. So we were discussing this topic recently. And how the Lord was reciprocating. Bali surrendered everything. He gave everything. And what did he get? No. Oh, thank you so much. That was very nice of you. No. He gets strangled in a snake. So that is kind of extreme. And then he just lets him hang there. And different personalities all come. Lord Brahma comes. Bali's wife comes. They all come and ask, please let him go. Not letting him go. No. Yeah. Only when finally his mother came, and his mother said, let him go. All right, then the Lord let him go. And now Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj throughout never lost his faith. His surrender was there, and he did so because it was his duty to surrender to the Supreme Lord. But now it was getting too much. There was no proper reciprocation from the Lord at all. It appeared, at least not from a material point of view, but from the spiritual point of view. The Lord wanted to see that Bali's surrender was complete, that it was not just external, and that it was not just like when he received the blessings, but that he was ready to surrender in any conditions. We have our Nietzsche, who said God is dead, isn't it? So Nietzsche wrote a book called The Antichrist, and I'll quote you a little bit from the book just to spice up the lecture this morning, just in case. So Nietzsche is depicting a god, and he is saying God was seated on his throne, and the angels were worshiping him. And why wouldn't they? He had given them everything. So then God had a brilliant idea. I'll create now a race that will be suffering instead of enjoying, human beings, right? And they'll have to work instead of enjoy and sweat and struggle, right? I'll create them. And then I'll create religion. And in the name of religion, they have to give up the few things that they can enjoy as well. Right? And now let me see how this will all unfold. And thus it came to pass. And the Lord looked upon his creation, and the Lord saw it was good. And then, he arranged for some other universe to collide with our universe, and the whole thing got destroyed. And then the Lord said, it was a good play. I'll have it performed again. Nietzsche from the Antichrist. So in Nietzsche's book, the Lord is bored. He is like a king. He's a powerful king who is bored and sitting on his throne, and these angels are always worshiping me. Oh my God, is there something new? Right? And he thought of something new. Let's make human beings. It's interesting. It's smart. The way he writes it is very smart. He's a smart atheist. But we understand, yes, it can be true. If the Lord is just worshipped in Vaikuntha and everyone is worshipping him, the Lord does get a little bored. It is true. He's right. But he did not create earth for some new kinds of enjoyment, because that is also boring. There's nothing about this earth that the Lord is enjoying, because he doesn't enjoy material things. But when his mother in Vrindavan is chastising him and tying him up and so on, then he's very happy. Then he's much more happy than we're reciting stotrams and many, many prayers and perfect Sanskrit meter and so on. No, when Mother Yasoda is chastising him, that is very dear to Krishna. So, Bhagavatam is gradually bringing us to this point to understand all these things. So Bhagavatam is showing us the path that the devotees went. Bhagavatam is showing us the ultimate goal. Then Bhagavatam is showing all these, the nature of the spiritual world, which is the ultimate goal, in great detail. Now, that is why the Bhagavatam is the center of our movement. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed the six Goswamis. As we know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did not write any books. He just left the eight prayers, which are assembled by Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. These prayers did not exist like one unit, like we chant them. These prayers that we chant all in one sequence, these prayers, they never existed like one unit. They were chanted here and there, but Krishnadas Kaviraj, he puts them together. We find them before the prayers in the verse book of Srila Rupa Goswami, who had collected many verses, and there's a book called the Padyavali. And in the Padyavali, there we find many verses, and we find the Sikshastakam, but not all together. One verse here, one verse there, in different places. So, all the acharyas, they did their service. And we learned from Srila Prabhupada that the Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary literature, the Bhagavatam, the graduate literature, and then Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the postgraduate literature. So, isn't then our real literature the Chaitanya Charitamrita? So, no. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is also Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita is the introduction to the Bhagavatam. It leads us up to the Bhagavatam. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is an expansion of the Bhagavatam because it's about the life of the person Bhagavat. It is about the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is living the life of the Bhagavatam. And it's Bhagavatam illustrated. And most of the evidence that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, Bhagavatam. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, many verses are quoted. And Bhagavatam is quoted approximately 350 times. And then come other scriptures, 40 times, 20 times, 1 time, 2 times, 10 times, like this. So Bhagavatam by far is the most quoted scripture in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The same you can see in the Nectar of Devotion. You just read the Nectar of Devotion, which is, Srila Rupa Goswami received the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then wrote them down in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which Prabhupada translated and summarized as the Nectar of Devotion. In the back of the book, you can see a list of verses quoted. And then again, you see Bhagavatam, and so many Bhagavatam verses quoted, a whole list, a whole page of Bhagavatam verses quoted. And then you go to Bhagavad Gita verses quoted, not so many, but also many, but less, meant much less, and other Puranas and other scriptures and so on. Again, the main evidence that the Nectar of Devotion is a book which makes a philosophical point, and then gives scriptural evidence for that point, and then some explanation. And that's how it's structured. Point, evidence, explanation. Point, evidence, explanation. So, most of the evidence is Bhagavatam. Therefore, these books are expansions of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is the essence. Therefore, we must read the Bhagavatam. You cannot say, I'm reading Prabhupada's books, the little ones. I like these small ones. There's some, you know, Beyond Birth and Death. Very nice. Very small. Perfection of Yoga, my favorite. I like it so much. I read it again and again. Very good. You are reading that. But now read the Bhagavatam. Oh, the Bhagavatam. Oof, that has been standing on our shelf and it's still in the plastic. Yes. Oh. No, take it off that plastic. Open it up and actually begin. Begin now. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the opening words of the Bhagavatam. Jamadiyas Yatun Vayatitaratas Chates Vabhikya Surat. Begin. Because, and right there it begins. Janmadi yatun vyat itartas chates vabhikya swarat. Now, janmadi asya. Everything has its origin in the Supreme Lord. Whatever is there comes from the Supreme Lord. He is also abhigya. He knows everything. But he is also swarat. That is interesting. Because this is right there, at the very opening words of the Bhagavatam, the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namely, achintya bheda bheda tattva. Simultaneously, one and many. simultaneously one and many, because here is Krishna, and from him all these things emanate. Whereas Sankaracharya says, no, there is the rope and the snake. And what are we seeing? Are we seeing a rope or are we seeing a snake? We know that we are mistaking one thing for another. We're seeing so much variety, Sankaracharya says, but there is no variety, because actually there is only Brahman. And Brahman, how can Brahman change? He says, that's his point. Brahman, if Brahman is the Lord, how can the Lord change? The Lord is unchangeable. The Lord is Sat. He is, says Sankaracharya. So, therefore, if you see it changed, it must be illusion. Oh, yes, yes, yes. It makes a lot of sense. Very logical. Yes, yes. No. No. Why no? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Brahman. Brahman is not the Lord. Brahman is not the Lord. Brahman, Baba, everybody knows this. We have heard it so many times. Brahman, 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 Brahman. Everybody knows Brahman is the Lord. Yeah? Now you're telling me Brahman is not the Lord? No, not the Lord. Then? How? Come on. No. Yes? Brahman is not the Lord. Then what is it? Listen to the Isupanishad. Which Srila Prabhupada translated for us. And what does it say? Hiranmayena patrena satyasya pitam mukam tattvam pusana pavimu satya dharmaya drishyate. It says, please take away this dazzling effulgence and show me this Hiranmayena, this effulgence of yours. Please take it away and show me your real face. Show me yourself. So, Brahman is the effulgence of the Lord. It is the Brahma Jyoti. It is the energy of the Lord. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains. It is the Shakti. And therefore, it can change. The Shakti can change. And therefore, he teaches what is known, whereas what Sankaracharya is teaching is known as Vivartavad, or that philosophy where one thing is mistaken for another. And we see now that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Shakti Parinamavat. And that from one thing comes another. Parinam result, the product. Shakti Parinamavat. From the Shakti come so many Parinams, so many other things. That is there. So I say, wow, but this we never heard. No, this is not common in India at all. Everybody heard about this Brahman. We heard about this so many times, so many lectures, the Pandit. Jambudvipe, Kali Yuge, Gora, Krishna Paksha, and then the Tirtha, and then and the lecture unfolds, and then the next lecture, next point is Brahman. We heard it many times. No, wrong. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, Shakti Parinamavad. Yeah, very nice. But what's the evidence? The evidence, you don't have to look very far. You don't even have to read the whole Bhagavatam to get the evidence. You just go straight to the first verse, and there it is. Right away. First, we worship the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And after that, Janma Diyasiyatum Vyati Taratastate Swabhikya Swarat. And there it is said, immediately, Janma Diyasiyatum Vyati Taratastate Swabhikya Swarat. And like I just explained it, everything, Janma Adi, the origin of everything, is the Supreme Lord. Interesting. And the Bhagavatam is actually giving that philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, Shakti Parinama. Achincha, Beda Beda Tattva. Simultaneously, one and many. Complicated. Yeah, interesting. Now, this Janmadiyasyataha sounds familiar, something. Rings a bell. Never heard that before. I did, actually. It's in the Vedanta Sutra. Janmadiyasyataha, Vedanta Sutra, Vedanta. Oh. These Mayavadis are all teaching Vedanta, Vedanta. Oh, everything is Vedanta, Vedanta Samiti, Vedanta this, Vedanta that. It's all Vedanta. The end of all Vedic knowledge. The final conclusion of Vedic knowledge, Vedanta. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in case we had any doubt about Vedanta, Vedanta, Vedanta kit vedavit eva jaham. I am the ultimate aim of all the Vedanta. I am the end of all knowledge. Vedaisya sarva aham vedyo Vedanta kit vedavit eva jaham, Krishna says. Interesting. And now here we see how it is mentioned in the Matsya Purana and in the Garuda Purana that this Srimad Bhagavatam is an explanation to the Brahma Sutra. It says Brahma Sutra Bhasyanam. It is the explanation of the Brahma Sutra or Vedanta Sutra. And you know, you don't have to look far for that. It's in the opening words, right there. Janadyasi Yataha. There we go. Explanation given. And what is the explanation? Yeah, Srila Prabhupada explains it in the introduction. In the preface. And Prabhupada says, the purpose of the Bhagavatam is to establish Param Satyam. If you go on with the first verse, Jamadiya Sitam Vida Titara Tastyate Svabhikitratena Brahmavidadi Adhikaviyam Yandhyatsuya Tejovrimi Yandhyatavinyo Yatati Sardhis Dhamma Svena Sadrani Astakuvikam Satyam Param Dimahi. Satyam Param Dimahi. So Dimahi means Gayatri is invoked because that word, that is a Gayatri, a word that is existing in Gayatri mantras. There are many Gayatri mantras. So Satyam Param Dimahi, meditate on Satya Param, the absolute truth. And Prabhupada said, the purpose of Bhagavatam is to establish that Param Satyam, the absolute truth, is Parameshwar. And Param Satyam means the absolute truth. So when you say the absolute truth, you're not sure if it's personal or impersonal. How can you know? The truth can be anything. But Parameshwar, the supreme controller, that's a person. Controller means a person. We are all controllers, everyone. Does your wife sometimes say, oh, you think you are a big controller? Oh, you are such a big controller. You try to control everything. I'm sure she does. Mine used to say these things too. Now, of course, I'm a sannyasi. Not because of that. No, because of positive reasons. Because of Krishna. Anyway, so, yes, we are all controllers. Even a little ant, you know. In Vrindavan, during Bhagavatam class, there are many, many ants. We're all sitting on the floor, and the ants are all coming at you. And they bite, you know, they bite. So it is a common thing that with the nail, we just send it to our neighbor. And, this is going on. Everybody does it. You know? So sit like, ant is coming too close. Send it off and try to get to go to. But the ant doesn't want to go to the neighbor. The ant is fixed. It knows exactly what it wants. It turns around and comes back again. And even that little ant, very stubborn, knows exactly what it wants. We play table tennis with the ants. Sometimes it works. You act as if you didn't do it. Yes, it kept us awake. Somehow through the Bhagavatam class, what can I say? Yes. So anyway, we are seeing that every living being is a controller. But Krishna is the supreme controller. So he's a personality. So Bhagavatam is there to establish that the absolute truth is a personality. And it does so in the very first verse. Now, you think this was all a little complicated, this philosophy. I know. Therefore, I will give an example. And the example is that one day Krishna came home with his cowherd boyfriends, and everyone was accusing him. Everyone was accusing Krishna. So, Krishna ate clay. Krishna's saying, how can they say such a thing? You know, I mean, it's totally unfair. You know, they're making politics. We had an argument, and now they're trying to get me in trouble. It's just a fabrication. It's totally untrue. Mother Yasoda says, Krishna, everybody says you ate clay, right? Even your elder brother says, Krishna, you are lying. Mother, how can you say such a thing about me, your own son? How can you just have no faith in me? If you don't believe me, then you can look in my mouth. And Mother Yasoda says, okay, open your mouth. She didn't believe him at all. Open your mouth, right? Right away. So Krishna opens her mouth, opens his mouth. Now, the question is, right, and it's not for people who have already heard this before from me, but now the question is, we're going to vote. Did Krishna eat clay? So all in favor for Krishna eating clay, raise your hand. Did he eat clay? Raise your hand. Okay, raise, vote. No abstentions. Everybody vote. In favor? Okay. All those say Krishna did not eat clay, vote against. Vote. Vote. Okay, listen. There were more in favor of eating Krishna's clay. You're all making politics against Krishna. This is just too much. You know? I'm going to talk to him about this. Look at that. What a thing to say that Krishna ate clay. Anyway, Krishna opened his mouth, and Mother Yasoda, what did she see? What did she see? Huh? Tell me. The universe, the whole universe. So, she saw the universe. Did she see any clay? No. She saw universe. And what's in the universe? Any clay? Yes. It's full of clay. There's a whole planet Earth. Yeah? Earth is clay. So, the whole planet. So much clay. So much clay she saw in Krishna's mouth. Not just a little bit, lots of it. Lots of clay. Anyway, she looks in Krishna's mouth and then she sees herself also and she sees Krishna. She sees herself looking in Krishna's mouth, in his mouth. You know, she starts saying, you know. And then she thinks, maybe I've just gone mad. You know, possibly I've gone insane. And she thinks, no, but I've never had any history of insanity. It's a little unlikely that I would just go insane right now. It can't be insanity. Then maybe it's Deva Maya. Maybe the demigods are doing this. Huh? Maybe the demigods are doing this. But I'm just an ordinary woman. Why would the demigods just play such tricks on me? No, it's hard to believe. Said, then, if it's not madness, if it's not Deva Maya, then maybe Garga Muni was right. Then maybe he is the Supreme Lord, and then maybe I'm not the Queen of Vrindavan, and then maybe all these people are not my subjects, and like a domino game, it sort of registered in the mind of Yasoda for a moment that here she's looking at Param Satyam, at the Supreme Absolute Truth, the all-pervading source of everything, and he is in front of her as Parameshwar, and she is just watching it all, and she's just like overwhelmed. And then he crawls on the ground, and then he laughs so sweetly that her heart melts. She picks him up, puts him on her lap, and forgets everything. Forgets everything. Huh? My son. Yes. My son. Ah, my son. Smelling his head. In the Bhagavatam, they're always smelling the head. Are you also smelling the head of your sons? You never smelled the head of your son? Maybe you should try it. Try and smell the head of your son, because in the Bhagavatam, they're always smelling his head. And it gives them great pleasure. Don't put any strange hair oil. Okay. In India, they always put this oil, this kind of, this smelly hair oil. The brahmacharis, they do it in their sutras. in Mongol Arctic, you know. And you smell this. Ah, and it's like, it makes me sneeze. You know. Anyway, back to Krishna. No detours. So Krishna, he showed that the universe was within him. He showed that. And yet he is in the universe. Now tell me, mathematically, can you please make sense of this? I mean, either Krishna's in the universe or the universe is in Krishna. But how can he be in both? Therefore, you would say that if there are energies coming from Krishna and they are also divine, you would say God is Krishna plus energies. If you just look at it mathematically. Logically, you would say God is Krishna plus energies. But no. Krishna is God and everything is within him. And it is also without him. And we would have never believed it if Mother Yasoda didn't see it herself. And if she is the witness. So Mother Yasoda is the witness of this Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is confirmed in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way we can see that right at the beginning of the Bhagavatam, which is a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, the Janmadi Ashyata is in the Vedanta Sutra as well. So we can see the true understanding of Vedanta is crystal clear. And we are ready. Let them come. And we will hit them over the head with the explanations of the Bhagavatam, which are so clear. And we'll establish Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva simultaneously, one and many. And Brahman, yes, Sankaracharya, it can change because it is the Brahma Jyoti. It is the energy of the Lord. It is not the Lord. Therefore, your rope and snake philosophy, you know, you can keep your own snake. We want to have anything to do with your snake, right? You know, we have our own snakes in the form of Ananta Sesh. And that snake is much nicer than your snake from the rope. Because our snake, Ananta, says, first of all, he's bigger. He has many, many hoots. And second of all, his mouth is the jewel case of the jewel of glorifying Krishna. Because with all his mouth, he's glorifying Krishna. Because Ananta, our snake, knows that the Supreme Lord is a personality. And that he's therefore not nirguna. In the sense that he has no qualities. He is saguna. He has only no material qualities, but he has many spiritual qualities. And Ananta is describing all these spiritual qualities in its unlimited feature. And that is nectar. Because as we heard, or I forgot if I said it here or where I said it, but I spoke about the qualities of Krishna and the love of Srimati Radharani and how Srimati Radharani is exploring the unlimited qualities of Krishna. And each time she discovers a new quality of Krishna, she loves that quality also. And in this way, her love is forever increasing. And that's why the happiness coming from this impersonal liberation, everything is one, and we are not part of this world, it is all illusion, and only Brahman, Brahma is Satya. And everything else is false. So, Jagat Mitya, Brahma Satya, yes, 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 like this. And you are that too, Tatra Marsi, yes. And in this way we are home. And then what will we have? Shanti, Shanti. Yes, we'll have shanti. Okay. So, you know, if you have a few kids, right? And they are with the grandparents, you know, then it's like also, you also chant that mantra. Very nice, you know? But after a little while, you just start to say, it's so quiet in the house. There's nothing going on, you know? It's like, you know, and you can't wait to pick them up, right? You go and collect the kids again. And some life. Because this shanti gets a little boring after a while, you know. Shanti, shanti. You can try different melodies. But with Krishna, unlimited qualities, unlimited pastimes, unlimited variety, always something new to discover. In this way, it's exciting. It's exciting. And in that is our spiritual life. And just like Srimati Radharani, as we discover Krishna, it awakens our love for Krishna. And gradually, we begin to more and more love the qualities of Krishna. And here you have your shanti, that is your liberation, mukti, moksha. I've got moksha now. Shanti, shanti. I'm very peaceful, nothing can upset me because I have moksha. You say, oh yeah, you have moksha. Yes. Another quality of Krishna. Wow. I'm getting more ecstatic. Wow. Another quality of Krishna. I'm getting more ecstatic. And in this way, the Mayavadis, they get stuck at a level. And the Vaishnavas just go higher and 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 higher forever. So where is the question of comparing this moksha or mukti with bhakti? Cannot compare. Bhakti is unlimited. Unlimited. There is no limit to bhakti. There's mukti, okay. Once you got it, you got it. Yeah. Forever. That's it. I'm liberated. Shanti. No visitors, sorry. In the Brahma Jyoti, you can have peace, but you get no visitors. Anybody coming? No. Nobody. That's why it said ultimately the Brahma Jyoti doesn't satisfy. Bhagavatam says, Yenyaravindaksha vimuktimaninas twayastabhavada visuda buddhya aruya kritsena parampadam tata patantya aditi yusvaram rahaya. If you do not focus on the lotus eye of the lotus-eyed Lord, Aravindaksha, then, you know, eventually you cannot maintain your position in the Brahma Jyoti. And again, Patanti Anadita, again you fall down. And Prabhupada said, why are they opening hospitals? This mission, that mission. Why are they opening hospitals and all these things? Because they're not absorbed in the worship of the Lord. They have to again turn to the material world and deal, and they focus on temporary things. But the real thing is the sadhu is absorbed in glorifying Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would just have a daily newspaper about Krishna and about the spiritual world. I said, like, how can you have a daily newspaper about the spiritual world? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said, you can have a daily newspaper about a small town like Brisbane. Then why you cannot have a daily newspaper about the unlimited spiritual world? Oh yes, we can have. We can. Ananta says, never repeats himself when he glorifies Krishna. Never repeats himself. Just carries on. Endless glorification. So in this way, we have enough to do. All we have to do is glorify Krishna. Here, amongst ourselves, in the little temple, or maybe during Rati Yatra, on the main square in town, while we pull the chariot to the parade, all we have to do is glorify Krishna. And as we do, it is contagious. More and people will join in and also glorify Krishna. And if you just continue to glorify Krishna, then the whole world will start glorifying Krishna. And this is Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is glorifying Krishna. And this is the Sankirtan movement, because the Sankirtan movement is glorifying Krishna. And therefore there's no difference between the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya and the Bhagavatam. So with that, I'll end today, because I don't want to go on forever. I want to, actually. We all want to go on forever. But there are different varieties of glorification. And one part of the glorification is to also honor Krishna Prasadam, which comes as the next part of the program, and we don't want to upset that so that the children start crying. So for practical reasons, we'll have a little break before we continue our discussions. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Eternal service to the Bhagavata. Nityam Bhagavata. Bhagavati Uttama Sloka. That is our business. Uttama Sloka. These slokas that are Uttama, they are beyond tamas, beyond the illusion of this world. They're Uttama Sloka. They're transcendental. Completely transcendental. By reading the Bhagavatam, we are uplifted to the transcendental world. Instead of being caught up in the small-mindedness of, you know, today is like not my favorite day because it's Saturday, and on Saturday we have to do shopping. Oh my God, yeah, so many things to buy, and the, you know, and the man thinks, and I have to pay for it. Like, you know, it's like all these things. And the children are also unhappy. I saw a video clip of youth in Australia, and it's a few years ago. So it said, like, you know, the life of youth in Australia is very, very austere. Very, very austere. Yeah. I mean, they give you an iPod, you know, there's an iPod or a tablet, you know, with only like, with only a few gigabytes, you know. The austerities, only a few gigabytes, you know. I mean, the austerities are just too much to grow up as a youth in Australia. And then on Saturday, they do the shopping, and they drive the car with all the shopping into the garage. And then you have to carry all those groceries all the way from the car to the kitchen. Life is tough in Australia. I saw it on YouTube. Yes, yeah. So we'll continue now. But when we are transcendental, it's all blissful. Every step. Because we're in the spiritual world. Like in Africa. In Africa, every word is a song and every step is a dance. Eh? It's like I go sometimes in South Africa to the black townships there where the African people live. And everybody dances. Sometimes you see someone dancing under a tree and there's no music. They're just like, there's no music. You look, and they're dancing. It's like every, and they sing like Gandharvas, right? Every word is a song and every step is a dance. So they have that. They just need a little adjustment. And in the same way, we have other things. Right? It's like in India, people are naturally pujaris. They know these things, so they can quote a slok. Everyone can quote a slok. No problem. Even a three-year-old, Sambalami Yuke Yuke, and Janmashtami. Everyone in India can quote a slok. So we all make our contribution. And in this way, we are the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. You know, some powerful, dynamic people from America. Prabhupada went there. He knew. These Americans are dynamic, and look at them. Like transcendental Americans, like in the Jumna Maharaj, you know, like just putting on huge things, huge. Who can do that, you know? He can do. He's so powerful. I have seen. So expert. He put on a big festival. In Africa called Rainbow Festival, right? And he did it all, and the city had given some money for it, right? Then the mayor came, and then Maharaj says, "Oh, Mr. Mayor, I am so sorry. I wanted to do a wonderful festival. I am so sorry. I have failed. The mayor puts his arm around his shoulder, says, "No, Mr. Swami, don't worry. It was very nice." And he said, "You know, next year we pay for the whole festival." That's good. He said, "That's powerful." Who can do like that? Prabhupada arranged, Krishna arranged to send Prabhupada devotees from all over the world. And they all make their contribution. Together we will do it. Together. Yes, this is the Sankirtan movement. Because Lord Chaitanya said, Pritiviti achi atanagaradigam sarvata pracharamit vayavinam. In every town and village, my name will be heard and chanting. And Prabhupada said, this means that in every town and village there are devotees. That's what it means. If the name will be chanted everywhere, it means that everywhere there are devotees. So don't think there are only devotees here and no devotees on the other side of the road. They built that big building there. It's ugly, but I hope plant some trees. Otherwise, we must plant some trees along the boundary wall. But it's ugly. But I'm sure that in that building there will be some devotees. So they built it for us. And we cook very tasty prasadam and we invite them, and slowly some will come to the and cross the road. So this is also good.
In the church, Mom.
I know it's a church, Baba. I know very well. So I'm saying yes. Yes. They can also eat take prasad. They can. I know there was one Christian, and he was one of those evangelic Christians, and they have a paper, you know, and they have this little leaflet, and the thing is to give someone a leaflet. So he was very eager to give someone a leaflet. He saw the devotees, Harinam party. He went there to give them a leaflet. So then he stood in the middle of the devotees. The devotees were like just chanting, dancing. It's like no one was taking the leaflet. And he stood there, and one devotee got compassionate. A poor guy, he wants to give the leaflet. All right, give me your leaflet. He took the leaflet. And finally said, "I have saved him. I have saved him." And he went home. "Yes, I've saved him from hell." But then he was thinking. They looked very happy. And eventually he became a devotee. And he became a big leader amongst devotees also. Like that. Yeah. So, don't think that because it's a church, we cannot do. No, they can also come. Why not? So it's Prabhupada says, the snake goes, the hole is made by the rat. The snake goes in the hole of the rat. So, we can use that hole. Make it a prasadam hall or something, you know. Build a temple here and have the hall there. No problem. Why not? We just have to be secret agents. So at Christmas time, right, when the Christians are there, we have a marathon, and we make Christmas cupcakes. All nicely packed Christmas cakes for all the Christians. And we go and we say, "We are neighbors, and as for Christmas, we want to give you all a Christmas cake." And they will be like, "Oh, they all eat a Christmas cake." And they transform, see? Some tricks you have to use. That's Sankirtan devotee. Oh, Prabhupada, said one disciple who was met Prabhupada in Bombay, and said, "Prabhupada, I don't like India." Prabhupada said, "Oh, you don't like India?" He said, "No, I don't like Indians because they are very tricky." And Prabhupada said, "I'm Indian." He said, "No, but you are not like that, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "No, I am very tricky. I tricked you all into Krishna consciousness." So, you tricky Indians, have to be very tricky to trick these people, as many people as possible, into Krishna consciousness. Now I really stop. Any questions? Any comments? I guess you're tired now. Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Vasant. Very nice class, Maharaj. So the question is from the first verse of you were quoting that Supreme Lord is Param Satyam. So now, how can we see that when Krishna says that he's not eaten, which is a lie?
He's not
eaten the mud.
Oh.
So how do we see that? He's saying lie or is it true?
He is. Krishna can lie. That we know. That we know.
But again, we say him Param Satyam.
Yes, he is the Supreme Truth, and the Supreme Truth lies. But only for enjoyment. So it's not that that means that the Supreme Truth is not the Supreme Truth. Right, it is. One has to understand that Krishna comes into this world. Paritanaya sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharma samstarthanatya. Kya? Everybody. I know you know it. Everybody knows it. Yeah? So, like this, we know Krishna comes dharma samstarthanatya. He comes for establishing the principles of religion. So that he does all over the world, and that he does in the Bhagavad Gita. But when Krishna is in Vrindavan, then he does something else. He comes to show the eternal pastimes. And in those, he becomes a child. And every child lies. And not even children. My father gave me a big lecture how I shouldn't lie. And next moment he answered the telephone and he lied. And why does he lie? Because it is not about dharma. The spiritual world. Dharma is important in the material world because we are sinful. So we need dharma to protect us from becoming sinful. So Lord Ramachandra comes and teaches dharma. Only dharma. At all times dharma. But it is too much, this dharma. Because at the end of this dharma, he even loses Sita. When some foolish man is criticizing the king, he just sends Sita away. Dharma. All-devouring dharma. So he comes to show dharma consistently in all situations. Truth, truth, truth. Dharma, dharma, dharma. Krishna, he comes to show dharma, but not only. He also comes to show lila. And when he comes to show his pastimes of the spiritual world, in the spiritual world, it's not about dharma. In the spiritual world, it's about rasa. No one is sinful in the spiritual world. Everyone is dedicated to Krishna. One who is dedicated to the Lord is automatically not sinful. Because he will automatically, if you're dedicated to Krishna, then automatically we don't have to teach you rules about not eating meat. Because you will automatically not do it. Because Krishna is also the Lord of the animals. So, in the spiritual world, no one eats meat. They're all vegetarians. So they don't need rules of dharma. In the spiritual world is not ruled by dharma. The spiritual world is not ruled by time. The spiritual world is ruled by ras. By relationship, by taste in relationship. And it's very sweet when Krishna is lying. Everybody knows it. Now he's lying. Because it makes him like an ordinary child. So now the absolute truth has become like an ordinary child. He's so human. Now he's no longer the all-pervading, all-powerful. But now he's so human. So much like us. And because he's so much like us, he's so dear to us. You cannot love the universal form. Many mouths, many faces, time I am, destroyer of worlds. You cannot love. Arjuna became fearful. But when he becomes a like a child and he lies to you, he says, look at this boy. Very close to us, just like us. We love him. So that's why he's lying. To make us love him. That's it. Okay. Thank you very much. We'll meet again later. Yeah. Very nice that you all came this morning. Srila Prabhupada.